Hallelujah. So please, Bible study is a group discussion. So it's not just for one person. Let's make sure that all of us, we will contribute. We will, you know, say what we think concerning the questions that have been put in that Bible study. Hallelujah.
Means he will never fail us. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I hear your amen, please? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time. Thank you that, Lord, we open the scriptures and we're able to discuss and to encourage one another. We want to thank you that even as we round up, you are with us. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. I know it's the time is very short, I know, because a lot of people, they are enjoying themselves. That's why we always send it in, you know, in advance, so that you can look at it at home. When we are coming here, because we know we don't really have that enough time, because this is meant to be for 45 to 60 minutes, but we will not be able to have all that time. So please do your best at home to go through it. And the answers are at the back. So after you have done it, you can look at the back from page 53. You'll see all the answers there. Amen. Right. Yes. Right. So. No, actually, this is meant for the one who will be leading, but we are privileged, all of us, to have a copy.
Yes.
So after you have done it at home, you can look at the back. Every chapter, it has got all the answers. So you can look at the back. You see exactly if you have been able to do it well. Amen. Right. So we go straight to the first question. What comparisons can you think of between a race and the Christian life? So we'll start with this group. What are the comparisons that you guys came up with?
We look at them comparisons, and then the first one we talk about preparations.
Yes.
You know, and that both require being effort, require mm-hmm. being disciplined, and it require being focused.
Yes.
And we said that it's also goal oriented. Both are goal oriented because you know, we should have we have a reward in focus, and we must concentrate on, you know,
right,
to actually achieve for both, because in the race, you know, it's done to win a medal,
mm-hmm.
and the Christian life, you know, the purpose is to gain eternal life and crown of life, you know, at the end of it all.
Right, wonderful. Thank you. So, I mean, the main point that you brought out there is focus. You see, that comparison of, you know, whether be it in the Christian life, whether be it, you know, in the race for any prize that we run for, there is that need for that focus. There is that need for training. Right, the group at the back, please. The same question, please. Yes.
Contribution.
Any contribution that is different from what Brother Ayo just said?
Minister.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We discussed about the normal race being mm-hmm. sort of like a one chance.
Yeah.
Once the race is over, you're either the winner or the loser.
Yeah.
Whereas the race as a Christian, it's sort of like eternal, and someone gave an example of Jesus being like the main champion.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the opportunity to rerun the race. Even if we fail, we can get back up and get at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Christian, the reward is eternal. So so it's for eternity, whereas the other race is sort of like short term. So as a Christian, we need endurance to be able to, you know, to get there.
To get to the right. Amen. Wonderful. That endurance. Amen. Hallelujah. So we know that, you know, as Christians, our race is for a faithful service unto the one we desire to please. That's Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. So the amazing part of this race as well is it's not just won by one person. It is in this life, I think a lot of us, I had to set my time yesterday to watch the the world champions. You know, what I saw there is there is gold, there is silver, there is bronze. But you know, many they run in that race, but only the award, only three. The award, only three. You see, and you could see some of them, they are facing that, you know, they had spent some time training every day for that day, for that moment. But at the end of it, they could not get it. You know, the final race that they ran for the men, everyone, you know, they said, oh, America definitely is going to be America. But surprises were happening there. You know, they didn't take it. America, we saw Usain Bolt, you know, he had a cramp all of a sudden. He couldn't even finish. You know, things happen. But the rest that we have as Christians, as long as we are on it, yes, at the end of it all, you receive that crown. The Apostle Paul, he mentioned something in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If someone can open 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, please. If someone is there, you can read for us there. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, he did not leave it to say, oh, I have run this race and, you know, the crown awaits for me because I have done really well. Yes, he did. He did very well. But he said, you know what? This prize is not just for me, but it is for everyone who is waiting for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the race that we are running in this Christian life, it is a race that we know if we are determined, if we are so focused, all of us, we are able to obtain that crown. We are able to obtain or to receive that prize. Amen. Right, let's go to the next question. It says, do you personally find it to be helpful, to be a helpful comparison? Why or why not? So as we compare all these things in verse 1, do you find it helpful? Or is it a good comparison? If not, why not? Right. This group here. Yes, please.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We find it's comparable. Mm-hmm. And it's because in normal race, they need to train. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, we need to be trained. Mm-hmm. And in normal race, they need to have discipline to mm-hmm. be able to make it. We need to have discipline. Mm-hmm. We need to also make up our minds from the onset. Mm-hmm. I gave an example of while I was in secondary school during inter sport, they suddenly looked at me and thought, oh, tall, I should be able to run. And they brought me into 1,500 race to run. And I started. The second time, when I was about to faint, I had to leave. Hallelujah. Amen. From onset, we need to make up our minds that this race, that is why the Bible says that if you put your hand on the plow, mm-hmm. we should not look back. So Amen. From the beginning, from the starting point, yeah. we need to make up our mind. Not in the middle, then we say, oh, maybe, maybe not. We need to count the cost. So it is compared.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to make up our minds. Amen. We need to make up our minds. You know, as she was just sharing now, the picture of, you know, when you are taking a journey, like, you know, you are moving from one city or one country to another, just came to my mind. That, you know, as soon as, you know, the captain announces that, you know, we'll be flying on this height, different things, as soon as that plane takes off, can you say, oh, wait, 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 I want to come out? Say, my tummy, I don't feel like, you know, when he's just taking off. You can't do that. The journey has already started. You are already inside. So you just need to relax, you know what? You just say, everything now is in the hands of God. You know, that's one of the journeys that really amazes me. That kind of journey, maybe when you're on land, you feel like, oh, the car is on the ground. When you're in the train, you say, oh, it's on the ground. But in the air, can you imagine now? No turning back. The journey has already started. You know, just put yourself in that position that, you know what, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, that song kept on coming as well from Sister Bridget, thank you, and the choir. That, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus, not only. They sang it on the anniversary. That song kept on coming to me. I say, yes. You know, the world behind, your cross before me. Yes, Lord, no turning back. Why? Because that is the rest. You have made up your mind. You have made up your mind to say, yes, I will start on this journey. You have made up your mind. There is no turning back. Oh, whether you know, Habakkuk was saying, whether there are, you know, figs on the vine, whether it's blossoming, whether there's, I will still praise you. Why? Because I have made up my mind to follow you. I have made up my mind. There is no turning back. I will worship you. I will praise you all the days of my life. That is the desire that we should have, all of us as Christians. Amen. Let's move on to the next question. The Bible says, Paul explains his motivation for running the race in verses 19 to 23. What present-day examples might be substituted for the groups Paul was burdened to reach with the message of Jesus? Yes, here, please, the first group here. If you can just give us your answer as well, please. Okay, let's move on to the group that have got answers. The back group, please. Let's have an answer from you, please.
So we talked about youths and children, Muslims, yes. Different religions, different age groups as well, the elderly, people in prison,
right.
The homeless as well.
Right. Okay, can you say it loud, please? So we are talking of the different groups that, you know, he had to reach to different groups during his time. But is it in our modern day, what are the kind of groups that, you know?
So homeless,
yes.
People in prison,
okay.
Different religions,
okay.
Different age groups, mm-hmm. Elderly.
Wonderful. Amen. So different people there. Right. Okay. So I think the focus was on people who are, that we are trying to reach, who do not know Christ. Yeah. Unbelievers.
And non-believers as well.
Yes. I think that's the group, not just in general, like, oh, I just want to help or something, but mainly, how can we reach? Maybe we give an example of Akauli, where we live. We know that we are surrounded, majority of the people who are within this area are from the Asian community. You know, majority, they are, you know, Muslims. And how can we, you know, can we reach such kind of a group? Okay, thank you very much. Any other example?
To be like going to the pub to preach, you know, mm-hmm. To try to win soul for Christ,
right?
You know,
right. Okay, so you are already giving like an example, like practical things that we can do to be able to reach to those groups, examples of evangelism, right? Okay, you wanted to say something
to add also, apart from just the groups in the demographic we've described, that also just to recognize, even in our workplaces, people who seem to have heaviness, it could be depression, mm-hmm. It could be modern day things that mm-hmm. are grouped in boxes of mental health, mm-hmm. to be able to bring them light. And then right. The motivation is what Paul was saying, that it's to bring many to Christ. That's what right. motivated him. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, you hear on the track where they would say, well, when we were running, like Pastor Mara was saying, to houseboat, be on your marks, get ready, go. Jesus said it in the great general the commission we have in Matthew 28. He said, go ye. That was our go. Mm-hmm. That's him just saying, on your marks, go. What are we going to do is to preach the gospel and in the name of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that's what motivates, that's what should drive us to reach those groups.
Amen. Thank you very much. Right. Okay. We go to the next question because of time. The question number three says, does becoming all things to all people, see verse 22, mean we participate in their sinful behavior? Explain your answer. So, this first group, please. If we can have an answer on that, please. Does becoming all things to all people, can someone read verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please? Verse 22 says, to the weak I become as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Someone with an other version, not King James, please. Yes. Amen. By all possible means, I might save some. Yes. Answer, please, Brother James.
For us, when we are discussing this, we are reading from King James. Mm-hmm. And he said, to the weak, I became as weak. Mm-hmm. So to reach to the people who have a weakness, you don't have necessarily to become like them. Mm-hmm. But you cannot adjust to them and you tell them that I know your problem, I know your weakness, but you don't have to be to share in their weaknesses, but you can understand them so that you can bring them out. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to conform to their weakness.
Right.
And Paul said, I became as weak, but mm-hmm. he wasn't weak.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't weak. Right, okay. So you can't participate in their sinful behavior. Amen. Right, okay. Any other contribution on that question, please, before we move to the next one? Yes.
Yeah, I think when we were discussing, Pastor Clara mentioned that in whatever we do, mm-hmm. that we should make sure that the law of Christ is not broken.
Right.
That that Christ is always magnified mm-hmm. in all our activities and when we interact with people
yeah.
that have different beliefs from us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. At the back, please.
We said that we don't have to, my sister actually, she said it very well. Let her say it. Let her say it. I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay. What she said is that if someone is a Christian and she was not a Christian, she should be looking up to be like the Christian mm-hmm. and not the Christian trying to be like her. Mm-hmm. Because if she's strong, able to persuade the Christian to be like her, then it means the person doesn't have the real stuff mm-hmm. or something like that.
Right, okay. Right, amen. Thank you very much. So I think our lives are a true testimony than actually the things that we do say. So that demonstration of showing that really, you know, one, there is that love of Christ. Two, that genuineness in you. That, you know, people look at you, they say there is something unique. There is something different about you. And I would want to know that thing. I would want to, you are able to open up to share to people who you are, you know, what you believe in. There are some other people who are just curious. They just say your life just seems to be, you know, just amazing. What makes it to just tick so wonderful like that? Why? Because they have seen something special in you. And you should be able to demonstrate to them that, you know, it's not about, I am a wonder unto many. Because God is my refuge. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
The three of us were going to London. Actually, Pastor Clara made the coach driver to wait for us. She was so bold. Because Pastor Mariah was just packing, and the man said yes in 3 minutes, and yes, we were on the coach. The people on the coach were not nasty to us, they were very pleasant, and the lady we sat with the table, she said, oh, you all look so beautiful, and because you were dressed, you know, the water fountain. And Pastor Clara just keyed into that. And they were talking about salvation, about God, till the lady got down at Hillingdon. The conversation did not stop. What a testimony, you know? I got home yesterday. I said, even if it was because of Christina, we went to London yesterday. It was a journey well planned by God. So we can shine anywhere, even on the coach.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank God for that. Right, so question number 4 says, what is the prize Paul challenges us to run for? Verse 24 to 25. What's the prize that he challenges us to run for? Yes, please. The first group here.
It's for the incorruptible crown. Amen. That does not fade away.
Amen.
It's not bronze. It's mm-hmm. not gold. It's not mm-hmm. silver.
Amen.
Because on earth, no matter how many you accumulate, you will still want more and more and more mm-hmm. and more. Mm-hmm. But this one does not fade away.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this one does not fade away. That's an amazing crown. That is an amazing prize. It's not a prize that you will leave for any other to take. He said this one will be given unto you. The Apostle Paul, where we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 7 to 8. He said it will be given unto you by him. The one you serve, the one you have been worshiping, the one you have been calling upon. He said, on that day, and you wear it, and not just for a moment, but forever. Amen. Amen. So that's the incorruptible crown that we are talking about, the one that does not fade away, but it liveth forever, that the Lord himself will give unto you, unto me, as long as we are determined to the very end. Amen. Question number 5. Do you think of gaining a prize or reward when you serve the Lord in some way? Why or why not? So when you are serving the Lord, do you sometimes feel like, oh, honestly, I deserve a prize right now?
Yes, I said, do you think of getting a prize? Yes, because the Bible says that I have not called you to serve me in vain. So there's a reward for all what we do in God, for God. He has promised us. This is promise.
How do you get this prize? When you say, definitely, I feel sometimes I deserve this prize.
So I'm not going to say I deserve this prize. Said, bring all your tithes into the house of God that they might be meet in my house. He said, and when you do this, say, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So that's the reward. So he's what he's just said, I'm just obeying to get.
Wonderful. Yes, let's hear from the
Praise the Lord. I'll start from Pastor's point. She's in our group, Pastor shared with us that we have one of our prizes, the reward for stewardship. Praise the Lord. And in that reward, God gives us his goodness in fullness. Praise the Lord. Another form is that in Deuteronomy 8:18, say, I give you the power to make wealth. Making wealth is a reward. Praise the Lord. It said he will give us to inherit. So it's a reward. We don't wait until we go to heaven. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Said to Peter, on this earth,
yes,
you have 100-fold.
Amen.
And in the earth, life to come, eternal life. So amen. Both ways, yes, you win.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
We're already enjoying the reward. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. So the reward, you know, it comes from God. So I'm not doing a service in the house of God and I say, oh, they have to give me something for this. Our reward comes from him. He said in this life a hundredfold. Matthew 19 from 27 to 29. And in the life to come, eternity with him. And our sister was sharing of, bringing tithe in the storehouse and the ability to get wealth. He's saying, you know, he will rebuke the devourer. So it's like, you know, when you are doing it as unto the Lord. And these are prayer points you raise before the Lord. When that moment comes, you say, God, you examine yourself. You say, Lord, I am a tither in your house. The enemy cannot be stealing away from me. You see, you have got the right. Why? Because you have the right standing with him. He cannot make you to be sick all the time. Why? Because you know that which you know that you have done what the Lord requires of you to do. You have obeyed him. And you know, the Lord will hearken to your prayer. Jeremiah said, oh Lord my God, in Nehemiah chapter 13 verse 14. Can someone read there please? Nehemiah chapter 13 verse 14. If you are there please. 1:3:14.
Remember me, oh. Thank you. 14. Remember me, oh my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God.
Amen.
And for the offices thereof.
Hallelujah. I said, remember me, oh my God, for the good I have done for the house of the Lord. This man, he was a fighter, you know, coming all the way from Babylon, and everything looked, you know, upside down. But he went to a place where there was that rebuilding that was done. And, you know, he said, Lord, remember me for the good I have done. You know, he deserved something. He was not saying, oh, let man give me. But he said, it is unto you that I have done it for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor wanted to share something.
Order and get ready to die. And the man turned to God and said, I haven't got my 100% yet.
Amen.
And God added 15 years to his life.
Hallelujah.
So on this side of eternity, there is 100-fold.
Amen. Hallelujah. And then we move on to the next one is what may be involved in the strict training, verse 25, of an athlete, and how does that apply to the Christian race? So, what are the practical things that we know that athletes, they do, you know, and these are kind of things that we can also use in our Christian life.
Prior to the competition, they maintain strict diet. Mm-hmm. So, and as Christians too, you know, it's not about meat and drink, we should also fast.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Right, so training there. There's quite a lot of training that is involved, and you know, in our Christian life, you know, some of the training our brother was just sharing with us, he said, you know, these are some of the practical things we can do. There are moments when we say, you know what, I just want to focus on the Lord and giving that dedication, that time in prayer and fasting. Amen. Any other contribution?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We talked about discipline.
Yes.
As a believer and as an athlete, they are disciplined. Mm-hmm. Their timing,
yes.
Their management of their time is very strict.
Mm-hmm.
What they eat, like our brother has said.
Yes.
And then even what they wear, Pastor brought the attire into it. Mm-hmm. For instance, I know of swimming. A swimmer will not wear jeans to go to the swimming pool to go and swim. Mm-hmm. A pastor used the word agbada to go and swim.
Yeah. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you have that strict regime. Mm-hmm. There's a strict regime. What you eat, what you wear, when you sleep, who you go out with, your training mates, who do you associate with?
Yeah.
They are also there. So as believers also, who are your friends? Who do you call to? Who do you hang out with? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. So these are very practical things that we need to, you know, we need to think about or we need to follow. You know, which is very, very true. Because We see different examples that were also given in the Word of God concerning Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, whereby, you know, they made some instructions that, you know, they were supposed to worship an image. Or, you know, and Daniel, the Bible says, he opened up his window and he was calling upon the living God three times per day. You see, he did not look at, okay, because I'm in this kind of a foreign land and these are the restrictions that have been, you know, been given and things like that. He looked unto God. He called upon God. And you know what? When you do, there's some practical things you can do. And when you do some of these practical things, you know, God will always be on your side. The same way you did for Daniel, that, you know, God was on the side for Daniel. He will also do it for us in Jesus' name. And if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, and then as chapter 12 starts, the Bible records there that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, where are the witnesses? They are in chapter 11, where we see people, one of them like Daniel, where we see people like Abraham when God told him to move. He obeyed. There was that obedience. We see the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. There are things that, you know, they could not. The training was just too much. Where they said, you know what, we cannot continue to move in this kind of journey. Let's go back to Egypt. And they decided to make a molten image, a golden image, and things like that. And anyone who was above the age of 20, all of them, they perished in that wilderness. Why? Because they could not keep up with the training. And God said, except Caleb and Joshua, they are the only ones who will be able to move into the promise. So these are different examples that God has already given unto us. And we know it's not easy. You know, most of these athletes, I'm telling you, when you see at their timetable, before the Olympics, they always take after 4 years, is it? But they are training for it as if it's going to be tomorrow. The time they wake up, the time they do. It's not an easy thing, but it's exactly the same way we should also do as Christians. Every day, preparing ourselves, every day, and God himself will give us the grace and the strength to be able to do it in Jesus' name. Right, because of time, I will just read in question number 7. It says in verse 26 and 27, Paul switches from the image of running to the sport of boxing. How does this new picture broaden your understanding of what it means to follow Jesus? What it means there, it means that we have got a real opponent. That is the devil. So this one, we're talking of a prize. We're talking of, you know, just running to obtain a prize. But this one, you have to be prepared to overcome your opponent. That's the devil. You need to be ready. The Bible talks of in Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand any flying dart of the enemy, any weapon that he tries to use. We are well equipped. We are trained to be able to fight our opponent. That is the devil. So we need to be in a place where we are ready to fight, where we are ready to win. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ, you know, the enemy came, you know, after the baptism, and he tried different things, that, oh, you are the Son of God. Change these stones that they may become bread. Oh, you are the Son of God. Jump from this pinnacle of the temple. You are the Son of God. Right on top of this mountain, look at all these kingdoms. Oh, I will give them to you. So there are so many distractions that can come our way. But how ready are we? How prepared are we to say, you know what? I am ready to face my opponent. Jesus said, get behind me, O Satan. It is written, I will worship only the living God, and him only shall I worship. And the angels, they gather, they minister to him. Why? Because he was on his, you know, he was very, very, very on point. On point. He knew that, you know, I'm facing an opponent who wants to bring me down. But I have believed in the one who has sent me. And, you know, he overcame. And, you know, it's possible as Christians that as long as we continue to do these things, God will always help us to overcome. In Jesus' name, let's rise up. Father, we just want to thank you. We bless your name, O God, this afternoon. We want to thank you that, Lord, indeed, we are running this race. Lord, it is a race. But we are so grateful that we are not alone in this race. No matter how many times, oh God, we can train, if you are not in it, we cannot receive that incorruptible crown. We want to thank you that, Lord, concerning this Christian journey, concerning this Christian race, you are in it. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible says you reminded us this morning that he is rolling like a lion. He rolls like a lion looking for someone to devour. But Lord, you are with us because you came that we may have life and have it in abundance. So we know, Lord, you are on our side. You said we are more than conquerors. Lord, in this journey, help us, oh God, to remain focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My Lord, my God, we want to thank you. We bless your name, oh God. Lord, as we start this new week, help us to understand that we are in a race. Help us to understand that as long as we continue to be obedient unto you, we are overcomers. Because you have made us to be more than conquerors. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory. Help us each and every time, oh God, when you open your scriptures, oh God, that Lord, you will reveal great and mighty things that we have never known. Because, Lord, your word is quick and powerful. We are so grateful. We give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.